This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Hello.
Howdy, howdy.
Hi there. How are you?
Sorry, I'm in my car. This is what happens on spring break.
I was going to say, how's dadding on spring break going?
It's just getting started, so.
Just carting everybody around right now, playing Uber driver?
Yeah, right now I am. And then we'll go to theme park tonight and all that good stuff.
Nice. And Preston, where are you?
I'm at home. We just got home and somebody had taken my little ring light out of the room. So now I'm putting it back up real quick.
Chris, did you guys go somewhere for spring break or where are you?
This is our first day.
We were broke down yesterday. Did Chris tell you?
No, but somebody, I think from management emailed and said that happened. What happened?
It was a belt on the bus.
Yeah, no big deal.
The bus belt.
Yeah, it was like a $50 thing, but there was nobody available to get one at 3 o'clock in the morning.
So you just broke down on the side of the road or what happened?
Till about 8:30 a.m.
Isn't that always humbling? Like, you got this big hit song climbing up the chart, and you're like, here we are.
And then we get to the airport.
Perfectly timed, right? Keep you humble.
Lady A's got a great story about that. I think the day they found out, like, they got the news that they had their very first number one song while they were, like, broke down on the side of the road with a little bus fire or something. How it always goes. Probably good luck at this point, right?
Right. You wearing camo?
I am wearing my camo.
Let's go, camo.
You know where I got this camo? You're not going to like it. Abercrombie and
Walmart.
Abercrombie and Fitch.
No, seriously. The Abercrombie, PacSun, everybody's got great camo right now.
It's great camo. Like, what is this pattern of camo called? I know there's
It looks like real tree of some sort.
I knew you would know.
Maybe.
The only one I know is the name of is Mossy Oak, and I don't even know what that looks like.
Yeah, that could be Mossy Oak. I don't know.
Okay.
Usually, if you look real close inside the camo, their logo is mixed in.
Maybe Abercrombie
somewhere.
Made their own?
They might have, because it's tough to license sometimes.
Who knew? Who knew we'd be talking about camo this early in the morning? I feel like the last time I saw you guys, we ended up talking about how Preston drank out of a prosthetic leg, and it makes me nervous for where this will go today.
Let's go wherever it goes.
All right, so how have you guys been? Spring break. Preston, where did you just get back from? Well, you just got back from the road. Chris,
yep.
Where are you guys?
Spring break is just happening right now where I'm at. I am actually dropping my son off at a physical therapy appointment, and then we're going to Busch Gardens later.
Oh my God, you guys are going to have the best time. What's new in dad world for each of you? I feel like kids are getting big, right? All different stages of life right now.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Chris,
yeah.
What's the oh boy?
Oh yeah, 14-year-old. He's got a girlfriend, wants to be with her at spring break, and I'm kind of like, I'm being dad, I got to break it up, man. I mean, it's too much. They're too close. She's a good girl. He's a good kid, but just too close. So he's got his friend over, and I want him to just hang with him for a while and not her.
Do you remember when your dad was doing this to you as a kid?
1,000%. 1,000%. And I told him, I said, you're going to do the same thing. You're not understanding right now, but you're going to do the same thing.
Yeah.
I bet. Preston, what about you? How are the kids?
Fortunately, I'm not dealing with any love stories or anything like
not
that.
Not yet.
Mine are 9, 6, and 1. But the one-year-old's throwing me for a loop. You know, she's fun, though. It's wild and chaotic, but I try to embrace the chaos. And my little man's playing baseball, and he's only 6, so they don't take it too serious. And it's fun to just watch the boys, you know, draw, you know, they're out there playing on the field and they're digging holes on the field while they're playing. And, you know, they're still just little boys, you know. So it's great, though. My daughter's got the daddy-daughter dance coming up. So she's going to make her own dress this year. And so she's got her own little dress design going, and she's making sure that I see the exact color so that I can go get my suit to match her dress perfectly. So it'll be fun.
You gonna shed a little tear over this moment with her?
I know. I'm really soaking it up, but you know, it does go by fast, especially when I watch Chris's little boy be 14 already, you know, and that's goes by snap of a finger.
I know, right? Because like when you guys probably started doing this, Chris, did you have any of the kids yet?
Yeah, I had Kate, and I missed so much. I mean, it's crazy how much I missed. He's a good kid, though. I mean, you know, I tried to be the best dad as possible. I you know, and now in this, I can actually fight doing shows now because Preston now understands it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I try to make sure he doesn't miss anything.
Yeah, it's definitely hard. I feel like I talk to everybody in this industry who's a dad. Like, you guys are all going through the same thing. It's like a sacrifice anybody's got to make for work, which we all understand.
It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk music, and let's talk this song that's ripping up the chart right now, Hometown Home. You guys wrote this together. Tell me, like, what was the inspiration? Tell me about the day you sat down to write it.
We were on a Zoom call just like this, and we had Zach Abend and Andy Albert on the Zoom with us. So it was a four-way. And it was during COVID. And so Andy had this idea about Hometown Home. He said, man, I got this idea for a hometown song. We're like, oh, another hometown song. Yeah, they work, but do we want to write another hometown song, you know? And so he said, just hear me out. So Andy always has great ideas. And Andy said, the idea is, you know, we could go anywhere to start a new life with the person you love, but what about right here in this hometown? I mean, let's plant our roots right here because this is a great hometown. And so we were like, okay, that kind of sounds cool. And so we started chasing that idea. And it was right around the time where people were renting RVs and taking Winnebagos around and enjoying the U.S., you know, and just driving around because there was nothing else to do in our country. And so during the pandemic. And so we wanted to put Winnebago in the song somehow. And we're like, let's put that in there. But I mean, not a lot of words rhyme with Winnebago. And so Chris likes to always say Lego my ego, kind of does, you know, but
it could have worked. It just didn't put it in.
Yeah. So anyway, at the tail end of the second verse, we finally got Winnebago in there, and it was fun. It was a fun day writing the song, and we had no idea we were writing such a big song that was going to connect with so many folks. I mean, you try to make every line count, but then all of a sudden, like you said, it's a big old hit and we're sitting at the top of the chart, and it just doesn't even seem like it's feeling old to anyone. I mean, no one's tired of it yet. I mean, it's just one of those songs that I think it might be one of our biggest hits in 10 years. I mean, it's crazy. So we're really fired up about it and just glad that it worked.
Good. I'm so glad. And then you guys have released two different versions of this song. Well, I guess it's three total, but two new ones, the wedding cake version and the front porch mix. Talk about these two versions of the song.
The front porch mix is just a little acoustic, you know, just a laid back acoustic version. No big drums, no big, you know, strings or anything like that. And the wedding mix was Preston's idea. He was sitting there and he played it for me and he goes, dude, I feel like this is like a wedding song if we put these keys in. And I'm like, I don't know. Let me hear it. They played it for me. I was like, okay, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And it really is. It turned out great.
My favorite part of it is called the wedding cake mix. And yeah. I like Wheel of Fortune beginning and endings. And so, you know, I was like wedding cake and cake mix. And so it's like, okay, this is kind of cool. So it's wedding cake mix.
I like that a lot.
Isn't that kind of fun? Yeah. So I don't think anybody got it like I did, but you know, I was like, hey, wedding cake mix.
They will now. The rest of the Wheel of Fortune crowd's like, yeah.
I mean, check it out just for that reason alone. You know?
It's not bad, man. I think it's a good job of it.
No, very clever. I love that. I love a play on words. Like, I'm all about a pun or something, sneaking that in anywhere you can, like how you guys got Winnebago in the song. So you just announced yesterday the new album, Bet the Farm, going to be out April 18th. Talk about this album. What are some highlights? What are you guys most excited for?
I think every song on this album is a hit. And I mean, it takes a lot for me to say that because we go through so many songs and, you know, we pick the best songs. Not all of these songs were written by us. You know, Kane Brown has a couple on there without us. And we just picked the best song. And I think, you know, we've always been those positive guys. So the music where it brings you up, makes you smile, makes you relate. And we try to do that with every song. There's one song on there called Neon Girl, which is the opposite of what we usually go for. But that was written by Kane. And it's about, don't chase that girl. I'm warning you, don't chase that girl. It's a neon girl. Ooh. So it's brilliant, but it's the only song we've ever said, like, that we're not going, oh, I love you so much. You're the best girl in the world. I know somebody. Ring on every finger. This is the only difference, but it's written so well. And I think we had a great performance of it. And Kane gave the approval. And, you know, and I believe he's going to be on it to our deluxe album that comes out.
The guy's still not the one breaking the heart in that song. So he's,
no, he's not
romantic. It still has that positive edge, you know.
For sure. It's a warning, though. It's yeah. Just a warning.
Like a Broadway girl's warning.
Yes.
That's right.
I love it. So did these songs that you worked on with Kane, did this come from the time that you guys spent on tour with him?
It did. Yeah, you know, we were sitting on the bus one day, one night after the show, and he was like, I want to show you guys some of the songs on my new upcoming album. And so we got to listen to his whole album basically before anybody heard it. And then he played a couple extra songs. And he says, I'm not sure if these are going to make the album or not. They're not quite fitting my project, but I really want them. And one of them was Neon Girl. And we're like, listen, if it doesn't make the final cut, then we'll cut it. And he was like, well, you know, so there might be a surprise version of that coming soon too.
Ooh, okay.
Like on a deluxe. I can't say anything more.
I just did. I said it.
Ah. Oh, you did say it?
I did say it.
Oh, I didn't even hear it,
I'm getting a call from somebody that's going to be like, please cut that. Please cut the deluxe.
No, don't cut it. Don't cut it.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll leave it, but I'm not going to get in trouble.
Leave it in there. Who cares?
Oh, my gosh. That's so exciting. How fun. Is there anybody else on here, any other features you guys are excited about or rights that you got to do with other artists?
You know, there's a handful of artists that want to do some things with us, and I think that's going to be the deluxe. You know, I think we're going to have some surprises on that version, but you know, it's been years since Chris and I put out a full album. And so this is really just us again. Mm-hmm. And we're not trying to, you know, sugarcoat it and anything like that. It's just, you know, 13 songs that we're really proud of. We need to hurry up and get it out because they're starting to get old to us. We're ready to cut new ones already.
Yeah, we got new songs already.
Get this album out before we change our minds again. You know,
right. So. Well, it'll be here very soon, April 18th. Yeah. Then, well, we have you guys on the show co-hosting with us. Obviously, you'll be playing a bunch of songs from your catalog. And when I was looking yesterday, I didn't realize that this year it's been 10 years since I Love This Life came out.
Crazy.
Yes.
That is wild.
10-year anniversary.
That's wild. And I always forget that you guys wrote this song with Chris Jansen. So was there any talk about this being a Chris cut versus a Low Cash cut? Like, how did that all go down?
We had the song. It was on hold for two other artists. And Danny Myrick, who we also wrote it with, is a great, fantastic songwriter. You know, we wrote Truck Yeah with both of them also.
Oh, really? So, I didn't realize they were the other two on there.
Yeah. So they're on there, and Chris and Danny had it going out for another artist, and it was on hold.
We had it on hold, too, for that artist.
Can you say who else it was?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ted Hewitt had it on hold for Rodney Atkins, and then there was another soft hold for Billy Currington.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know if Billy had heard it yet, but there was kind of a double hold going.
Mm-hmm. Okay, got it. Double hold. Tell me, like, where did the inspiration for the song come from?
We sat there in the... at Danny's office, and Jansen comes in, wild as can be, banging his knee, banging everything. He's on Wild on Mountain Dew. And he's like, man, he goes, let's write a crazy song today. We're like, yeah. We're like, well, Garth is cutting. Garth Brooks is cutting right now. What would Garth say?
He was going to cut one more song. He was down to one. So everybody in town was trying to write that.
And he said, I love this life. And we're all like, y'all love this life? And we're like, yep, let's go. And we just started writing it. And who knew it was going to come out to Low Cash? When we wrote it, we knew we were like, okay, we just got to start performing this live. And then we started, I think the first time we did it live was in Switzerland.
Really?
And the crowd went, yes, the crowd went crazy. And we're like, oh, maybe we should keep this and run it back to the States. And we performed it for a year. You're just seeing people smile every second and just loving this song. So we had the ticket off hold, and that was a hard moment. Preston didn't tell us it was still on hold. We all thought it was off hold already, and we were going to be able to put this out.
It's for sure money. You know, it's like if it's going on someone else's album, that's a big win for these four writers and all their publishers mm-hmm. and all their managers, and it's a big day. And so, you know, everyone's like, "Hey, you took I Love This Life off hold, right?" And I'm like, "Yeah, sure, I did. Yeah, I took it off hold, but I was secretly leaving it on hold because my thinking was if they go into the studio and they cut it and it's a big hit, well, then it's a win anyway. So I just left it on hold. And then finally, I saw some artwork. I mean, they were getting real far down the road. They're like, here's the artwork for Low Cash and I Love This Life. And they showed it to me and Chris. And I was like, I'm going to step out in the hall real quick. I better go take this song off hold. And so I go out in the hallway. I mean, that's legit how it happened. I went out in the hallway and I called and I took it off hold. We got excited. The next morning, my phone just starts buzzing. And I'm like, I mean, I'm not even out of my apartment yet. And I answer the phone. And this particular publisher cussed me out. It was like, you don't know what you're doing. Low Cash doesn't have a hit yet. You can't take I Love This Life and keep it for yourself. It's already on hold for someone else, and you're taking money out of our pockets. And I mean, he just let me have it. And I remember setting the phone down on the counter because I couldn't even get a word in. And wow. So I set the phone down and I said, "So you're saying you don't believe in us?" You know? And he's like, "Well, it's not that I don't believe in you guys. We just have a for sure cut going." And I said, "Well, listen, man, Chris and I are betting the farm on us, basically. And I'm sorry that you're not there with us. And hopefully we'll make you proud. And we think this is going to be a good decision." And, you know, 2 or 3 years later, here, yeah, you know, here we
are. Number one, they're like, "I knew you guys were going to do it. I knew it."
Crazy. Yeah. You're at the big number one party and they're up there like, "Yeah, I knew all along these boys could do it." And you're like,
"I believe in these guys."
But sure, you
don't keep score. You don't keep score and you don't hold grudges in this town. You just kind of like, I understand where they were coming from, but you know, it was a decision that Chris and I made together and we felt good about it.
For sure. All right. Another one. I want to talk about the story behind I Know Somebody.
I Know Somebody was, we had that on hold for at least 2 years because we didn't really have a record deal when we put it on hold. We didn't write this one. Jeremy Stover, Rhett, and Ross Copperman, three huge songwriters and great guys. And Rhett was like, "I'll let you guys keep it on hold. I believe in you guys." And, you know, it was also on hold for another artist. And we had to fight that because we had no deal yet. We had no idea what we're going to do. And I just remember Preston's like, you need to hear this song. I listened to it and I was like, I fell in love with it. I listened to it for a year and a half. I learned it front and back, just could sing it backwards. And I was like, I love this song. This has to be a single.
I remember kind of letting I played it for Chris and Chris fell in love with it and just kept going. And I had already moved on to other songs, but Chris kept coming back to this one.
And, you know, after I Love This Life, it was not even a question. I was like, we need to record this and put this out. This is our next single. And this, similar to this, is Hometown Home. I felt the same way with this song. Like, I've been singing this Hometown Home song for, you know, it's been on hold since COVID, you know, and when we wrote it and I was like, "Preston, this is it. This has got to be our first single off our whole label, our new album." I was like, "I promise you, this is it. This is it." And I felt that way with I Know Somebody and I felt that way with Hometown Home.
Which, yeah, great, great songs.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Other ones I want to bring up is that you talked about writing Truck Yeah for Tim McGraw. And I always love when there's like an artist who's written a song like that that you may like not realize. So talk about like, what did you guys think when you got the call that you had a Tim McGraw cut?
I mean, it's unreal to get that phone call. It's just crazy. And especially because he had just left Curb Records and he had just went to Big Machine, and this was going to be his first single on Big Machine. And so there's a lot at stake. You know, the label wants to show up. And there was a lawsuit going on between like Curb and Big Machine and all kinds of. So we were just thrown right into the vortex of that whole wild, successful storm. But, you know, the day we wrote it, a guy came in the office and said he was wearing a suit at the publisher. And he says, hey, what it's Danny and Chris Jansen, me and Chris. And he says, whatever you do, don't write a song about Truck. And we're like, why? And he says, we've moved on as country music. We're not singing songs about trucks anymore.
Nobody drives trucks anymore.
Nobody drives trucks. They don't want to sing about it. They're not going to record about it. We just got an email saying this. And so we'd appreciate it if you guys don't write a song about trucks today. So he leaves the room. And as soon as the door closes, Danny Myrick says, I think we write a song about trucks. And he looks at Chris and Chris says, I'm in. And Chris Jansen says, F yeah. And I was like, no, not F yeah, Truck yeah. And then we all just kind of looked at each other. We're like, whoa, I had never said those two words together in my entire life before that moment. So it wasn't like I came into the room with an idea.
No.
It all happened because of this moment. And that's the magic of it. And we wrote the song in like an hour and a half and we were done.
Underdogs turned it in and they told us no one is cutting this song. And we're like, oh yeah, well, we're going to cut it. And we're going to make it a single. We took our president of our label at that time out on a deer hunt. And we go sitting in the bus and we're like, we're going to play something for you, man. We're going to play something for you. We play it for him. He sits down. He's like, no way. No one's cutting this song. And it was 2 days
including
after
including you. I'm not going to lie.
Including you. You're like, you're not putting this out. And we sang it in Kentucky for the first time and they went ballistic. They just went nuts over
this
song.
This is a wild story. I got to tell this story. I don't know if we have time, but I'm going to tell it anyway. So Chris and I go to Mexico to do this charity event. And we get down there. It's for breast cancer awareness and fundraising and stuff. So we're down there. We're doing this event. And this is back when I'm aging myself, but there wasn't a lot of like cell phone usage outside of the country, a cell phone period, really. And so we're down there doing this event, and my phone in my hotel room in Mexico rings, like the actual, you know, hardline phone. And so I go over, I'm like, this must be the front desk. So I answer it. And they're like, hey, this is somebody in Nashville, and Tim McGraw wants to record Truck Yeah, song you guys wrote. And I'm like, holding this on. I'm like, what? I'm like, this is crazy, right? And so I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And they're like, no. He wants to record it, but there's one problem. And I was like, what? And they're like, you guys sang it in Kentucky live, and someone recorded it and put it on YouTube. And McGraw wants to be, you know, their team, not necessarily McGraw, but his marketing team wants all of that wiped clean so that when he comes out with the song, it's fresh and it's new.
Nobody's
and da, da, da. We're like,
it.
I'm like, of course I understand that. I'm like, what do we need to do? And they're like, well, we need to find the person who posted this and we need to get it down. And I'm like, but back then we didn't have Instagram. So you couldn't just track someone down. It was just like this random video, right?
Right. And it's probably got some like insane handle, like YouTuber low cash
right.
Kentucky 25. Like
Exactly. Our only clue was like Kentucky Deer Hunter 195, you know? And so we're like, okay, it's a Kentucky Deer Hunter. So we call the radio station, and I was like, I got an idea. So Chris and I get on the phone. We call the radio station that was there that night. We said, hey, put out a contest and say, if you're listening, whoever recorded that video, call. You just won free tickets to a big show. And so sure enough, they made the announcement. It wasn't 5 minutes, and Kentucky Deer Hunter 195 calls up. He's like, that was me, you know? And so they're like, you win. All you have to do is take that video down. And so he agreed to take it down. And
what?
Man, that's the story behind the song.
That is insane. Also brilliant on your part for like getting that guy to call in. Wait, I love it. All right, quick question. Was there ever any other name you guys considered other than Low Cash? I mean, I know obviously it used to be Low Cash Cowboys, but were there any other names you'd thrown around?
Yes, Nash Vegas.
Really?
Yeah, we thought about Nash Vegas, and then
you want to know what
it
else
was just
we thought?
Too much.
This is my favorite one. I pushed for this one a lot. Your mama.
No, you didn't.
And the winner of the ACM award is your mama. No, that
Who's
wasn't
not voting
a real
for your
one,
mama.
But we sure here's the new single by your mama.
You need to be writing for SNL, Preston. Oh my
I mean,
God.
It was a bit of a joke, but still, it's kind of like,
still?
I don't know, you know, Katie Neal live with your mama today.
I love it. All right. We're going to have you guys on over April Fool's Day. Are there ever any like pranks you guys have done on tour? Is that something that's part of like low cash culture, pranking each other, jokes?
We may have put on one of the greatest pranks of all time. Then it's a long story. And I don't know
I got
how
a
to
short one. I got a short
okay.
one. Let's
There's
save
nothing
that
you do
one.
That's short, Pete. What are you talking about?
let's save that one for a different one because that's
okay.
a super long one and it's a good one.
Okay, yeah.
So Katie, write it down, the long
Next
prank
time.
Because we need a whole
it's
show based around that.
It's one
con.
Of the best pranks of all time.
Okay.
We need to reenact that one with you, Katie. That would be a good one.
I'm gonna save this
from
Worthy ACS.
It's when the cops stormed our bus. Just that put that down.
Got
That's
it.
All you need to know on that. But there was one that Chris and I did to a buyer one time. This guy called, and we happened to be sitting in our agent's office that day. And he called, and he said, hey, I'd like to book Low Cash. And he didn't have much money, and we were trying to make a certain amount to, you know, pay for our overhead. And he didn't have enough to do it. And it was going to be too far away or something. We didn't want to do that show. So he
didn't know what he was doing either.
Yeah. He says, man, we're going to try to get Low Cash. And the agent says, okay. He says, how much do they cost? He tells him the number. And he's looking at us and being like, shh, stay quiet, you know. And so he agrees to the cost. And we didn't think he would agree to the cost. We're like, oh, he agreed to it. You know, we might have to do this one. And then our agent goes, hold on 1 second. And so he puts him on hold. And he goes, I'm going to make a crazy request. And he'll never say yes to this. And so he clicks back off and he says, I just talked to the guys, and they need a live elephant to bring them into the show. And the guy kind of laughs, and our agent doesn't laugh. And we're all like, trying not to laugh. And he says, you got to be kidding me. He says, no. They need a big elephant to bring them in to the show. And the elephant will drop them off on stage, but they can't travel with an elephant, so you've got to get one. And so the guy's like, okay, well, let me make some calls. So he hangs up and he never calls back.
He calls Joe Tiger.
Yeah. A little bit. Yeah. That's right. So anyway, we have some fun here and there, you know.
That's incredible. All right. Last question. Have either of you ever been mistaken for another country artist or a different duo? I don't know if you saw this, but Luke Bryan posted yesterday that somebody thought he was Blake Shelton at a gas station.
That was funny.
Great.
That was funny. I saw that.
There's a ton. We've been called Dan and Shay forever. Dan and Shay were called Low Cash forever. People, you know, still think they'll go up to us, man. And I love that song, Cruise. And we're like, what?
And I think the one that we get the most is Jamie Foxx and Denzel Washington.
Oh,
yeah, we get those a lot.
Yeah. We also get, honestly, we get Lanco a lot because of our names.
I could see that. So I could see the confusion.
People will come. Yeah. And it's like all caps, you know. And so they'll like hold up a poster in the crowd and be like, sing Greatest Love Story, you know. And then they'll be at a Lanco show and like, Thing I Love Is Life, you know, and we all get a kick out of that.
That's incredible. Okay, good stuff. Congratulations on how well the song is doing. It's great to see you guys as always. Hopefully we'll catch up in town very soon.
Love you.
Yes, great to see you.
Good to see you guys.
Thank you.
Bye, y'all.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now. And what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.